Good morning. It's good to be here to worship with you again. And as Fraser just said, that this morning's service will include sung responses, which will be led to us by our musicians, so thank you to them. And so I hope you enjoy that. When I was here a few weeks ago, I thought the music was so good that I thought this would be a good opportunity to share in this service, and I know that people have enjoyed it previously. So God's grace and peace are with us. Let our hearts be filled with joy. We'll sing our first hymn, At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow. Please be seated. And so we come to our prayers. If you can join in the words in yellow, please. Let us pray. God of mercy, your love for us is strong, but our love for you is weak. You call us to follow Jesus, but we are slow to obey. You care for all that you have made, but we ignore the needs of others and misuse your creation. We are sorry for our sins. Forgive us and help us to please you by the way we live, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God is love and forgives our sins through Jesus. Amen. And the collect. Generous God, you gave your Son for the life of the whole world. Give us the joy of knowing the risen Christ. And let your Holy Spirit guide us, that we may love and serve you on earth, and live with you forever in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're going now to sing Glory to God, and it's a call and response. So our singer will sing the words in white, and then if you respond by repeating the words in yellow.
Glory to God, glory in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, glory in the highest. To God be glory forever. To God be glory forever. Alleluia, amen. Alleluia.
Our first reading this morning is Psalm 138, and Celia is going to come and read that to us.
Psalm 138. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. May all the kings of the earth praise you, O Lord. When they hear the words of your mouth, may they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is on high, he looks upon the lowly, but the proud he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your hand you save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. Amen. Praise be to God for his word.
Thank you. We sing, My Jesus, My Saviour.
My Jesus.
Please be seated. We will hear now our reading from the Gospel of Matthew, and Sarah will read to us.
The New Testament reading is taken from Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this is what not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Well, I'm sure that you are all getting very excited about Molly coming to join you. She was very concerned when she left. When she heard about her brother, and she was very upset, of course, by that. But she was very concerned about leaving and not being here for the beginning of September when you were all expecting her. But I said to her, "You've got to go, and I'm sure that everyone will be understand and be compassionate." And it's unfortunate that the plane fares are very expensive. It's short notice, and that's partly the reason that she can't get back until the 12th. But we will reschedule the welcome service when we know what the true situation is. And in the meantime, please continue to hold her and Alan and Kunashe and Cheyenne and the rest of her family all in your prayers. We do, of course, look forward to welcoming her. And I'm sure that you have that sense of expectation about what she might bring. I wonder what expectations there are on receiving a new minister. And perhaps it's a time to think about what actually is the role of the minister. One of the tasks that I have is that of being a supervisor in reflective supervision. In the Methodist Church, all ministers and lay workers who have a pastoral responsibility have to take part in reflective supervision. It's part of our accountability. And one of my supervisees recently asked at the session to talk about the question, what is a minister? Because they had noticed a difference of opinion between what they saw as their priority role as a minister and what their superintendent saw as his priority as a minister, what the nature of a minister in the Methodist Church is. And that isn't really surprising, is it? Because we all have different views. God calls us to ordained ministry, just as he calls all of us to roles within the church. I often say to people, actually, the church is not a voluntary organization. We are here not because we volunteer, but because God calls us to the various roles within the church. And he calls all sorts of people, all of us made in his image, but all made different in so many ways. Itinerant ministry in the Methodist Church has tended to see this as a strength, in that churches can benefit from the different qualities that each minister brings, but it means that each minister comes with their own calling from God, which is individual to them. So as we prepare to welcome Molly as a presbyter new to our circuit, it strikes me that the question that Jesus asks in this passage that we've just heard is, in his conversation with Peter, is quite poignant. Who do you say that I am? Because it prompts the question maybe in our minds then, well, who do we say that Molly is? And it raises the exciting prospect of the next 5 years as we seek to discover who Molly is and what are the special qualities that she will bring to us and that we can learn from her presence among us. Near the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus begins his ministry after his baptism by John by calling the disciples to follow him. And that moment in itself is interesting. We see that Jesus doesn't call as his first disciples people who have an especially devout religious record or have been specially educated or specially trained. He calls ordinary fishermen whose expertise is in catching fish for the table. Not perhaps those you might expect to call if you have a special message to deliver to God's people. And then with this group of fishermen, he begins to travel through Galilee, proclaiming that the kingdom is now here, healing the sick and the suffering, and teaching those who come to listen all about the kingdom of God. There's a lot of teaching centered on the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, followed by a number of miracles. He touches and heals a man with leprosy, breaking a long-held taboo. He then breaks another taboo by healing the servant of a centurion, a non-Jew. As people hear and see stories of what Jesus is doing and saying, they begin to raise questions about who Jesus is. When Jesus brings back to life a little girl who has died, who has power over life and death in this way? When Jesus speaks, the sea is calmed and the wind dies down. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? When Jesus casts out evil spirits from two men and sends them into a herd of pigs, who is it that has power over evil spirits in this way? When Jesus heals on the Sabbath and is challenged as a lawbreaker, but who has the right to break these laws? The answer? The one who gave life in the first place can bring life to the dead. The one who made the winds and the waves in the first place has power over them. The one who is the creator of all things has power over all. And one who is pure love such that no evil can stand. These actions are not just acts of compassion. They are also done and are reported by the gospel writer in order to show us who Jesus really is. Now Jesus turns to the disciples and asks them about the people who have heard these stories and seen and heard these things that he has done, and said, and asks, what are they saying about him? The answers at first may sound bizarre. The disciples tell him, well, some people are saying that you're John the Baptist, but others are saying that you're Elijah. And others still are saying that you must be Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Most of these people are from the Old Testament, stories long gone by Jesus' time. And John the Baptist has recently been put to death. So how could Jesus be any of these people? Well, it was a common belief that important figures from the past could in some way be reincarnated. It was widely believed, for example, that Moses and Elijah would one day return. So it seems people were debating which of these important characters from the past could Jesus be. Or perhaps it was a way of associating him with them. And then Jesus asked the really important question of Peter, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter responds, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And this is a light bulb moment for him. Simon Peter has shown a level of understanding here that tells Jesus that all the work he has done until now has been worthwhile. He's got the message. He knows who Jesus is. But it's not yet time for everyone else to know. And so Jesus tells the disciples to keep this information to themselves. This is the moment that Jesus really gives Peter his calling. He changes his name from Simon to Peter, which means rock. Peter the rock has been given a special understanding of who Jesus is. An understanding that Jesus says has been given to him especially by God. It's like his eyes were closed until now, and suddenly they've been opened so that they can see Jesus properly and recognize who he really is, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. So Peter has been given a special role to play in letting people know who Jesus is and in the building of his church, because Jesus also tells him, on this rock I will build my church. Peter isn't perfect. Far from it. He has his faults, and he will be the one that will let Jesus down at a crucial time when Jesus is arrested. He will deny knowing him, and he will run away and hide out of fear. Perhaps Jesus knows this when he refers to him as Simon, son of Jonah. You might remember Jonah from the Old Testament story. Jonah, who tried to run away from what God asked him to do and got swallowed up by a whale, was miraculously saved and ended up doing what God asks him to do anyway. Perhaps Jesus knows that ultimately Peter will also end up being a strong advocate for him. It's important to note that although Peter may have been the rock, it's Jesus that does the building. On this rock I will build, he says. It's tempting to think in terms of the rock being the foundation of a building. After all, there is a parable, isn't there, about building on rock. But the Greek word used here can mean house build, but it also means family. So when Jesus says he will build his church, he is saying he will build his family. In other words, the church of Jesus is the family of those who place their faith in him and call him Savior, those whose eyes are opened to who Jesus really is, just as Peter's were. Peter, of course, went on to build that family, to spread the word of the gospel along with the other disciples, and to found Christian communities followers of Jesus. What might have been expected of those fishermen turned out to be a very different experience. So what might be expected of a new minister? That might turn out to be very different from our expectations as well. There are a few points about ministry in the Methodist Church that we understand. Firstly, in the Methodist Church, we believe in the priesthood of all believers. That means that every one of us, as Christians, are called to share in a priestly ministry before God in the world, in worship, in mission, and in service. Methodist ministers, especially presbyters, are those of this priesthood who God calls to a specific role within it, to be ordained and in full connection with the Methodist Conference, and thereby authorized by the Conference to be public people who represent God in Christ and the community of the church in the world. I'm quoting here from a conference report called What is a Presbyter? It goes on to say, they do this as they seek to serve the needs of the kingdom in the power of the Spirit. They do so in who they are, what they do, and what they undergo. If you want to know more, you can read the report. It's on the website. It might also be helpful to understand that Methodist ministers are not employees of the church. We're what's known as office holders, which means we work alongside and in and amongst Christians in the church, enabling, supporting, leading in various ways through a covenant relationship. First of all, and foremost, accountable to God in fulfilling our calling. Accountable to the church through that covenant relationship, which is made with the conference when we're received into full connection. Did any of you go to Sue's ordination a couple of months ago now? If you did, you may have gone to the ordination in the afternoon, but you might also have gone to the conference service in the morning where all those ordinands are received into full connection. And that's the point when we enter into this covenant relationship. So what can we expect from Molly? Well, according to the conference, we can expect firstly that she will pray with you and for you. She will study the Bible and other sources and seek to interpret them for the community. She will be involved in planning, leading, and participating in worship and mission. She will preside at Holy Communion and baptism and confirmation. She will share in pastoral responsibility, exercising oversight and offering leadership, ensuring that decisions are made according to Methodist practice. She will be responsible in collaboration with appropriate church bodies, lay officers and ordained colleagues for the pastoral care of church members, although not always doing the care at first hand. She will represent the church in the community. She will seek to grow as a woman of God and enable and encourage others to grow in their discipleship and be equipped for mission. And she will ensure that her family and personal commitments are not neglected. These are kind of standard things. But who Molly is all the more, is all of this and more. Herself, her individual qualities, her gifts and graces that are the reason why God has called her to be here now. We will get to know who she is as we work with her and alongside her. Above all, Molly is here to help you to see who Jesus is and where he is at work in the world. You have an exciting time ahead of you as you get to know each other and learn where God is leading you together. We come back to the Jesus question. Who do you say I am? We've heard Peter's answer, but it's a question that he keeps on asking of every generation since. Each of us faces that same question. Who do you say that I am? Our answer has huge implications for our lives. If we're able to say, as Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, then we have no choice but to put our faith in him as our Lord and Savior. That changes our lives, because we must then live no longer for ourselves, but for him. Remember our covenant prayer. We accept the invitation to join him in his kingdom. As John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is upon you. It is here now. It came with Jesus, and Molly will help us to participate in it. Amen. We join in now our affirmation of faith. Again, if you feel so inclined, can you join in the words in the yellow print? Do you believe and trust in God the Father who has created the universe? We believe and trust in God the Father. Do you believe and trust in Jesus, the Son of God, who has redeemed the world? We believe and trust in God the Son. Do you believe and trust in the Holy Spirit who gives life to the people of God? We believe and trust in God the Holy Spirit. Daniel will now have intercession.
In our intercessions, will be in few parts, and at the end of each section I would say, Jesus, Lord of our lives, and please respond with, graciously hear us. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. Let us pray. My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear us while we pray, take all our guilt away. O, let us from this day be wholly thine. Isaiah writes in chapter 40, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow weary or tired, and his understanding no one can fathom. Lord God, our creator, we pray for our world. We thank you for your creation, especially for creating us in your own image. We are sorry for the times we have taken your creation for granted and abused them, only to gratify our selfish motives and greed. We remember now the troubled parts of our world, the situation in Ukraine and Russia, the killings of Christians in Africa and in Iran, and the conflicts in the Middle East. Especially remember the vulnerable in these places of conflict. We struggle to fully understand the meaning and purposes of all these troubles, and we earnestly pray that you will help us not to forget your sovereignty, your supremacy, as you fulfill your plans and purposes in establishing your kingdom of righteousness, justice and peace in this world. Merciful Lord, in your mercy, release your divine power to thwart all the works of evil in this world and bring your healing and your shalom to all the nations through Jesus, our Messiah. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. The Church of God, a kingdom is, where Christ in power does reign, where spirits yearn till seen in bliss, their Lord shall come again. Reign over our churches, Lord Jesus, we pray, as we remember this church and other churches in this circuit. Pray for Andrew and for all the ministers, the local preachers, and for all who work in various committees and supporting roles. Thank you for their dedication and service. Fill them with the knowledge of your will through all the wisdom and the undertaking that the Spirit gives, so that they may live lives worthy of the Lord and pleasing Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God with all patience and endurance. We pray that your church would be biblically faithful, Christ-centered, and fruitful in proclaiming your majesty till all this land is filled with your glory as the waters cover the sea. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. Lord, we especially hold before you today those who are troubled, those with many doubts or uncertainties, for those who are sick, recovering from recent surgeries, especially remembering Gail, Roy, Brenda, and others in this church, and those known to us, and also for those who are bereaved, especially for Reverend Molly. Pray for their healing, comfort, strength, and for freedom from anxiety, distress, and fear. We pray for all who are in need, both within our own families and in our local communities. For students who have received their results recently and have major decisions to make for their next steps. Merciful Father, amidst all the discouragements, difficulties, and the distress they encounter, help them to experience your presence and guidance, and grant your grace to learn to trust and hope in the God of all flesh with whom nothing is too hard. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. We thank you for your word and all that you teach us through them. Give us an open mind to be taught, a tender heart to believe, and a surrendered will to obey, for your holy scriptures to inform and inspire our faith and to secure our obedience. Help us by your Spirit, for apart from you we cannot do this, for all our sufficiency is from you alone. May thy rich grace impart strength to our fainting hearts, our zeal inspire. As thou hast died for us, O may our love for thee be pure, warm, and changeless be, a living fire. Jesus, Lord of our lives, graciously hear us. Merciful Father, accept all these prayers in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you. So we come to the words of the peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I leave you peace. My peace I give to you. The peace of the Lord be always with you and also with you. Please, as you feel is appropriate, just share a sign of the peace with those near to you. Peace be with you. Okay. Peace be with you. Peace be with you.
Our communion hymn, 581, Come, my table is a meeting place. Come, my table is a meeting place.
If it's comfortable to remain standing, please do as we come to the prayer of thanksgiving. And please join in the musical responses where they occur. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. God, our Father and our Mother, we give you thanks and praise for all that you have made, for the stars in their splendor and the world in its wonder, and for the glorious gift of human life. With the saints and angels in heaven, we praise your holy name. Holy God, you go on loving us even when we turn away from you. You sent your Son, Jesus, who healed those who were sick, wept with those who were sad, and forgave sinners. To show the world your love, he died for all upon the cross, and you raised him up in glory. On the night before Jesus died, he had supper with his disciples, he took bread, thanked you as we are thanking you, broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." After supper, he took a cup of wine, thanked you, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. It will be shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this to remember me." And so, God of love, we remember that Jesus died and rose again to make all things new. Through his offering for us all, we offer our whole life to you in thanks and praise. Send your Holy Spirit that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us Christ's saving body and blood. May this same Spirit unite us with all your people on earth and in heaven. Bring us at last to live in your glory with all your saints, that we may praise you forever through Jesus your Son in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. We say as our Savior, we say together the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Christ is the bread of life. The cup of blessing, for which we give thanks, is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Christ is the true vine. Please be seated. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. The table is ready, all is prepared, and you are all welcome to share in the bread and the wine.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of glory, we have seen with our eyes and touched with our hands the bread of heaven. Strengthen us in our life together, that we may grow in love for you and for each other, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing, Christ triumphant, ever reigning.
Thank you.
The blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us now and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.